Welcome to the Adoption and Foster Care Journey, a podcast to encourage, educate, and equip you to care for children and youth through adoption, foster, and kinship care. Hosted by an adoptive mom with over 22 years of kinship and adoptive parenting experience, she's on this journey with you. Please welcome Sandra Flack.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. That is Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22. I'm Sandra Flack. Welcome to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I pray you'll be encouraged through this episode. If you are a regular listener or watcher, if you follow the video version of this podcast on YouTube and other platforms we have it on, you'll notice my background is a bit different. I am coming to you remotely from the beautiful mountains, the Adirondack Mountains of upstate New York, one of my very favorite places, our family's very favorite places. It's spring break. So some people go to the beach, we come up to the mountains. And therefore, even though it is early April, it is currently snowing. I don't know if you can see that behind me. We have about 6 inches of snow on the ground. It's typical for this region. So we just roll with it. Spring will come. I nestle in here. And I read and I write and I can record a podcast from here. And that is what we're doing today. And I am super excited to have a returning guest with us today, an adoptive mom, an FASD expert. She's a facilitator of the FACETS neurobehavioral model, as am I. So you are in for a real treat. But before we get to our conversation, I'd love for you to listen to this important announcement about a vital resource that we have for you.
Natalie Vecchione of the FASD Hope Podcast and Sandra Flack of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey Podcast would like to invite you to join their Hope for the FASD Journey, a virtual support community for parents and caregivers raising individuals with an FASD, diagnosed or not. This faith-based community includes an online bi-monthly support group, a monthly VIP conversation, and a private Facebook group which includes a video devotional from Natalie and Sandra every Saturday. To register, visit justicefororphansny.org/training/FASD.
So this podcast isn't specifically about FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, but FASD affects a vast majority of children in adoptive and foster placements. And I'm a mom of two kiddos who have an FASD, adoptive mom of five. So we have two, teens. One is 18 and one is 20, soon to be 21. That's a different subject altogether. But they were both diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome when they were little. And I know how hard and isolating the journey is. And we got a diagnosis. So many of you out there are parenting kiddos and you're dealing with really big behaviors and your kiddos probably have a whole alphabet soup of diagnoses. That's how I like to describe it, right? The ADD, ODD, RAD, ASD, sensory processing disorder, ADHD. I might have said that one already. It's very common. A whole bunch of things, which may be accurate, but also they may very well actually come under the umbrella of FASD, fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So many families have a hard time even getting a diagnosis. We talk about these things a lot on the show. But because I have that lived experience, and I still have that lived experience because our boys, though they are 18 and 20, still live home, And I understand how challenging and isolating the journey can be. So we now offer, through our nonprofit, JFO, I'm able to offer you training and support and resources that I did not have for a bulk of our journey, and especially in those the first more than decade. I want you to be able to have access to that so your parenting journey can be filled with hope and peace and joy. You know, there's still the hard things, but there is a community and there is help out there, and we offer some of that. So I offer one-on-one parent coaching now, so you can learn about that on our website. And I also offer a whole host of online and in-person workshops and training. I have a full month of just travel and other things going on in April. So our next workshop for FASD online is not available now until May 8th. So I'm offering on May 8th at 1 p.m. Eastern time, what I call an intro to FASD. And this is great if you are a parent and you're a caregiver and you're just learning about this and you really want to know what are the symptoms, you know, what are those behaviors, what are the things, how do I deal with them? That's a great introduction for you. It's an hour. It goes over a little bit because I stay on the Zoom call and answer questions, but it's 60 minutes of training, as well as maybe you know what you're dealing with, but you may have people in your kiddos' lives who they don't really understand it. They don't get it. That could be a grandparent, a babysitter, you know, Sunday school teacher, youth group leader, bus driver, next door neighbor, babysitter, whoever, right? School teacher, whoever it might be. This is a great workshop. It's free and it's a great place for them to learn more so that they can be a better support to you and your children. If you're looking to go a little bit deeper than just a 1 hour intro, I do offer a 3 hour online workshop. And one of those is coming up Thursday, May 16th. At 7 p.m. Eastern time. It goes deeper than the intro. You do not have to take the intro first, but either one that you're interested in, there is a small registration fee for the 3 hour, but it's a great one if you want to go a little bit deeper. So whether you're interested in learning more and signing up for the support group that you just heard about, or if you'd like to register for the coaching or the FASD, an FASD workshop that I'm leading, you would go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, click on the training button at the top of the page. There's a training tab and the drop-down menu will show FASD. You can go there to learn more about everything that we offer, or you could also register there for any of the options that you want to partake in. Now, because I'm going to be traveling in April, one of those places I am going is North Carolina. So if you live in North Carolina or you can get there, I will be leading an in-person FASD workshop at the Renew Retreat. That is April 18th through the 20th in Swansboro, North Carolina, near the beach. This is an amazing retreat for adoptive and foster parents. It is organized by Adoptive Mom and former Orphan Sunday International Director for Orphan Sunday, Jody Jackson Tucker. She is also, not only is she an adoptive mom, but she leads Second Mothers. It's a ministry to adoptive and foster moms. She wrote an amazing women's Bible study for adoptive and foster moms called Second Mothers. So she is the passion and person behind this Renew Retreat. It's amazing. It will be worth it if you can get there. You can learn more about the retreat at renewretreat.org. And there's a link in the show notes for this episode to the retreat and also to the Justice for Orphans website where you can learn more about the FASD training. So now, to our guest, I'm super excited to have today with us my friend, Debbie Raymond. Debbie is a proud adoptive mom of a 26-year-old daughter and a 23-year-old son who is on the fetal alcohol spectrum. Her passion lies in being an FASD and brain-based difference educator, parent advocate, and in supporting other families with individuals prenatally exposed to alcohol and neurodiversity. Deb is a trained facilitator of the FACETS Neurobehavioral Model. She facilitates an adult support group for individuals with FASD over 24, and is a moderator in Jeff Noble's International FASD Caregiver Group out of Canada, which has thousands of members. And my favorite part, like I said, she is my friend, and she also co-leads our Hope for the FASD Journey support community with me. Please welcome the amazing Debbie Raymond. Hey, Debbie, welcome back.
Thank you, Sandra.
I just am so excited to have you on the show because we get to co-lead Hope for the FASD Journey, the support group community together. And so we've known each other for quite some time. But for our listeners who might not know you at all, you know, I'd love an opportunity for you to just share, give us a little glimpse into your life. You are an adoptive mom. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, my journey to parenting wasn't an easy one. I had four miscarriages and, you know, just was constantly in prayer, you know, asking the Lord for guidance and what I was supposed to do. My husband and I, at that time, he was still alive. And, you know, and he just kept answering me that, you know, he had a plan for me and, you know, just to persevere and keep going. And so both of my children, I have two children. Lydia is neurotypical. She's 26 and lives in Seattle. And then my son Wyatt is 23. And that was, you know, a really kind of bumpy journey, even the adoption process, because when we adopted Lydia from China, they had computerized. So there was kind of some lag time. And again, during all of that, I was like, okay, Lord, am I still supposed to do this? And I had such anxiety about it and, you know, just kept trying to, you know, lay it all at his feet and not worry about it. But I got her baby match like the day before Mother's Day in 1998. And I just sat at my desk in my office, my old boss, Carl Knapp, who is a wonderful man and still a friend. I just wept and wept tears of joy, you know, to the Lord, because it was like, you know, all that waiting and stuff. And anyway, and Wyatt's adoption was 3 years exactly to the day, the same date, you know, from South Korea, where he comes from. And so, yeah, I never asked God why anymore. I mean, I knew the plan that he had for my kids and for me. And anyway, it's just been an incredible journey since then. So,
aww. I love that. And I love Wyatt. He's got a social media presence and such an amazing young man. And he's really, you know, his adoption and you know, your parenting him really changed the trajectory of your life and all of the things that you're doing now. So tell us a little bit more about Wyatt, because he is diagnosed with an FASD, but he was much older. So what were some of the symptoms of FASD that you were seeing when he was younger that kind of eventually led to getting a diagnosis?
Yeah, he was just, you know, all over the place. No fear, impulse control, just bouncing off the walls. You know, his original diagnosis was ADHD, which so many of us get originally. You know, he was developmentally delayed in school. You know, always getting into trouble, but not really bad trouble, you know, taking things off the teacher's desk and not focusing. I mean, he couldn't sit still and focus on a task. We did do an IEP, you know, like when he was in first grade. And luckily, you know, I lived in a really small community then. And, you know, I just get called in by the teacher, you know, first name, and Debbie, we need to talk about Wyatt and see what we can do. And I took him to Children's Hospital. They really didn't have a clue. It's really disheartening for, you know, a hospital with a reputation like Children's Hospital in Seattle to not know really anything about fetal alcohol. But we went through all of that. And then Children's Village here closer in Eastern Washington, where we live again, had a doctor who supposedly knew about FASD, could have diagnosed him. You know, I was reading everything I could get my hands on. But it really wasn't until I read Diane Malvin's book, Trying Differently Rather Than Harder, that it just like these bells went off in my head and I went, oh, my word, you know, that's my son, that I really understood what was going on with him. And that was his brain. It wasn't anything I was doing, or he wasn't a bad kid or anything else. And all the things I've been said to me, you know, I need to parent him better, or, you know, have better restrictions and take things away from him and all those things. They weren't doing the trick, and they were just making things worse. So from there, I just really poured myself into, you know, finding community like we have, and joined Jeff Noble's group, took his caregiver kickstart. And I take that every year, actually, because I'm a moderator in his group as well. Proof Alliance got, you know, involved with them and, you know, took some training that they had and did their Proof Con. It was during COVID, so online. And then Wyatt did not get his official diagnosis through the FAS clinic at the University of Washington until he was 19, just a few months shy of his 20th birthday. And that's with facial features. My child has facial features. So it just tells you how doctors are so hesitant to give that diagnosis, even with, you know, that criteria, which, you know, as we know, less than 10% have actual facial features. So it was a really hard road. And you know, and I can say, you know, I probably spent more time praying about that than I did anything, because I just really needed an answer for him. I needed to know I wasn't crazy. I needed to know, you know, have the tools and information. It's not something that defines him, but it just, you know, gave us an answer to what was going on, you know, in his life. So he knew how his brain worked, and he could, you know, and I could change, you know, how I approached him and supported him and all of the things that he needs to be successful in his life. So anyway.
Yeah, that's a similar story we hear from so many parents on this journey as well, is, you know, there are all these behavioral symptoms. It can be so hard to get a diagnosis if you ever get a diagnosis. Or then in my case, where we got a diagnosis when our boys were little, but there was no resources or support or help, right? So what good was that? So, I mean, it was good because we knew what we were dealing with, but, you know, we kind of see with every different family that we talk to, it's either, you know, they can't get a diagnosis, or they got one and they can't get resources and support. So it can be a very frustrating journey. Fetal alcohol spectrum disorder is a brain-based lifelong physical condition that affects the brain and body of people who were exposed to alcohol in the womb. That's the definition by science. You and I know that verbatim, probably because of our FACETS training. We're both facilitators of the FACETS neurobehavioral model, which is something that we got to do. We were in the same group, so we got to know each other even a little bit more, and that was great. So with Wyatt, since he was almost 20 by the time he got his diagnosis, how old is he now, and how's he doing?
He's 23 now. And even before we got the diagnosis, like I said, you know, and you, like you've shared, you know, I was doing all that training. I was just living as if he had fetal alcohol. I knew that he did, even though I didn't have the diagnosis from anybody official. And, you know, I was providing the supports he needed, as you shared. You know, I did the FACETS training, and that was just another whole set of tools and information for me to continue to parent him with and support him with. You know, he graduated from high school. And as you said, you know, there are no supports virtually in the United States for that transition services. And if there are, you know, Job Corps, this or that, they're not individuals that are FASD informed or trained. So I wasn't going to set him up, you know, for failure and utilize any of those things. The transition services we had at his high school was just a joke, you know, and they had no knowledge. They would leave kids unsupervised in, you know, a store where they were, you know, trying to show them labels and how to stock shelves and do things. And it was really a sad experience. And, you know, even at that time, some of the kids I knew, you know, from what I taught, you know, were undiagnosed and probably had fetal alcohol, you know, were in really bad situations because their parents were struggling too. And, but anyway, in relation to my child, you know, Wyatt's doing really well. You know, we just really ran with the FACETS training, with the training I already had. I've been part of Dr. Jackie Pye, and Wyatt's has THO toward healthy outcomes. And that is a really powerful program as well. If anybody gets an opportunity to contact her and do delve into some of that. But, you know, we just really focused on what his strengths were. And he started out with dog training. He's just very gifted with dogs. And, you know, just, you know, my friend Michaela really saw that he was really good with her very reactive German Shepherd. And he started every day, and then he started filming himself, and we started, you know, we created the possibilities.withfasd Instagram page, and we just, you know, kept, you know, building on that. And then we, you know, it strengthened our relationship because we were talking together and we'd pray about it every morning and how we wanted to, you know, see that, you know, come into anything else. And if he was going to be like a dog walker or what he was going to do. And he did a little bit of dog training on the side, you know, just enough to basically pay me for gas to get him there and back. But, you know, that really grew for over a few years. And then he wanted to have a paid job. You know, he does the dog training pretty much as a volunteer. And Alex Duffy, who was a moderator in Jeff Scribbin, recently passed away. His boys in Scotland are trolley boys, you know, get the carts and bring them in and all that at a supported program that they have in Scotland. And Wyatt just thought, you know, I love working with people, and that's another gift my son has, and he's outgoing and has a great smile. And so we had recently moved to Kennewick, a little further away from where we originally lived in the Tri-Cities, Eastern Washington area. And, you know, Wyatt said, you know, hey, Mom, can we maybe check into me getting a job there? So, you know, with his permission, I contacted the manager there and helped him with the paperwork, and they understood, you know, that he needed some support and helps with those kind of things because they were challenging for him. And he ended up getting a job as a courtesy clerk there. And that was a little over a year and a half ago now. And it's wonderful because they're supportive and they've let me share information and educate about his disability. And he continues to learn how to find his own voice and advocate for himself. And it's just such a huge blessing. I mean, they're like supportive of me too, as his mom, and their employee owned store. And I just can't imagine, you know, that God had such a wonderful path, you know, for him. And I'm so grateful for it because he, you know, like today he works Thursday and Friday afternoons, and he wakes up in the morning. He's like, I work today, Mom, it's going to be a great day at work. And aww, he's so excited. So
well, you're such a passionate advocate, and you just have gone after every resource and training and everything available so that you could just provide all of that, you know, in those resources and supports for Wyatt, you know, which as mama bears, we do. Deb, why is it so important for especially adoptive and foster parents, like our folks who are listening, why is it so important for us to understand and know about FASD and learn about the brain and learn how we can accommodate our children so that they can be successful? Why is that so important?
Well, each of us have different brains, whether we're neurotypical or whether we're neurodivergent or, you know, whoever we are, our brains are all different. It's really important that we find out how our brains work and how we all function as individuals so that we all, you know, have representation and a seat at the table excuse me. And, you know, I think that, you know, for me personally, you know, the Lord just wants us to be that voice for individuals, you know, that have differences, you know, whatever they are. And in our community, it's individuals with brain differences, which as you've shared, you know, affects the mind and the body and everything. And my son does have several comorbid conditions now too. So that they, you know, they have something to offer the world. You know, God has gifted each one of us with gifts and things that we should share in our world. And sadly, you know, it's like, what is it? Like 1 or 2% of individuals in the United States with disabilities actually have jobs. So we really need to do better, all of us, at, you know, helping them find their voice, you know, being advocates for them, you know, helping them, you know, get some self-esteem and building on their strengths and whatever it is that they may be challenged with. You know, let's not see it as a challenge, but as, you know, something, a gift, you know, to find the tools and education you need, you know, to give them that, you know, bolster that they need out into the world so that they can share all those gifts that the Lord has given them, because it's important. You know, we're all here for a reason. We're all here to lift each other up. And I believe that very strongly, you know, so I hope that answered your question.
No, definitely. FASD, you know, training for parents and caregivers is, I believe, vital. And so is support, right? In order for us to support our kiddos, we need to have that training and that understanding. But also as parents and caregivers, we need support because nobody understands the unique challenges, right, of parenting kids with a brain-based difference. You know, it's a hard journey, right? So I think it was about a year and a half ago, our dear mutual friend, Natalie Vecchione, another FASD adopted mom. Natalie was also the host of the FASD Hope podcast, which was very popular and can still be accessed if you're looking for another good podcast. But Natalie and I established the Hope for the FASD Journey Support Community, an online group for parents caring for kids with FASD, whether or not they have that diagnosis yet. And then Deb, you were a VIP guest. We do every month we have a meeting, an online meeting where we have a VIP guest, someone who's, you know, gets this, who has lots of experience in it. So we had you on as a VIP guest, and then we just sort of never let you leave because we drew you into our group, and you just became, you know, a regular attendee of our meetings. What does the group mean to you, first of all, just as a mom needing that support?
Well, it's kind of funny that you talk about that and share that. You know, you asked me to be a VIP guest and I joined, and it was like, I did not realize how much I needed this community, you know, for starters, and that I was so honored to be asked to stay because I really needed it too. You know, despite the fact that I'm part of Jeff Noble's group and all that, it's a larger group. And from that group, I kind of feel like I do share in that group and stuff, but I feel like I'm just more a resource. So I don't really feel like I'm being fed to. And that's not to say anything against Jeff Noble's group. It's wonderful. And I adore all the people in it and stuff. But but we all are volunteers and it's a very large group. And so I don't always feel that, you know, that I can be that candid about certain things and stuff. And I don't know, maybe it's just not always easy to do. But with our group, it's just such a more intimate group. And I know so many of us, you know, Sandra, like you said, you and I have been friends, Natalie and I have been friends, some of the other women as well. And you know, another member's husband, I actually met for a film project before I even met his wife in our group. And it's just been, you know, I think the Lord takes you where you need to be, you know, and sometimes in really roundabout ways, as we know from our journeys to become parents and all of that. And we don't know why. And it's probably good that we don't know why, because we would fight against his plan. But it feeds my soul. It makes me feel valuable, you know, the gifts and resources that I've been able to, you know, to attain in my life and share them with moms. And hopefully, you know, come alongside them, you know, when they're feeling struggles and stuff. And you know, like recently we had a mom who was struggling with her very young child. And I was able to, you know, messenger her back and forth and give her some tools, you know, to help her, you know, calm her child down. And that's just a really powerful feeling, you know, to be able to have that gift to help somebody that lives across the country, you know, reach out to them and give them some hope and you know, help them in a really serious situation when she's probably feeling hopeless, you know, with a child and struggling with things. So, you know, it's just a blessing to me. So.
Well, we're thrilled that you're part of the group. And several months ago, Natalie took a sabbatical from the group. And so we invited you to co-lead with me in her absence. And I'm so grateful for you because you are a wealth of FASD knowledge, parenting experience. You're also a FACETS facilitator, such an asset and blessing to our group. So I'd love to just kind of talk about our group here a little bit so any listeners can get to know what we do and how to be a part of the group. We meet the first three Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern time via Zoom. So there we've got members from all over the country who tune in. So for the first and third, because the second Tuesday is our VIP conversation, which we'll get to in a moment, but our first and third Tuesdays, our regular group meetings, would you share a little bit about, you know, what that experience is like to just participate in the regular group meetings online?
Well, you know, it's kind of like sitting around the table with a bunch of friends you didn't know that you needed, first of all. And, you know, over time you become really comfortable with them. It's a safe place. It's a loving, supportive place, if I could articulate today. You know, we've done books and delved into them and talked about topics and shared examples. We've, you know, used the accommodations grid from our facets training and done actual scenarios, you know, to that apply to a specific child that one of our participants has, and, you know, been able to help them with situations. We, you know, let them pick topics or ask questions about things, you know, like we have some older kids in the group that are, you know, getting job age and talk about job skills and SSI and just all kinds of things, and you know, do like a roundtable discussion, and we all bring all the things and knowledge that we have to the table to bless everybody with that information, you know, because you know, we all know something, and you know, if we can share all those things, we all bring a different perspective. We're all at different places in our lives. You know, I'm an older single mom with, you know, 23-year-old child, and then we have younger members. So, you know, hopefully the things that I share that I remember from when my son was younger, you know, can be helpful to the parents mm-hmm. of individuals with younger kids, and vice versa. And it's a time of prayer. You know, we pray for each other. We, you know, we do Soul Care Saturday. Sandra and I take turns, you know, recording those for Saturday morning. And, you know, we usually pick, you know, a verse or something that's, you know, pressing on our hearts, and, you know, share things that will hopefully uplift our members until, you know, the next time that we meet together. And, you know, as I said, it's just a time, you know, where we can gather together and be one and support each other. So.
Yeah. And I love that too. I love the fact that we've got moms that have kids. And we do have a couple dads who will pop on here and there, but it's mostly, they're pretty outnumbered when we're all on there. Mm-hmm. But we've got kids of all ages. We have some moms have littles, and some have, you know, teens, some have older kids. Like you and I both have kids and, you know, and they're that are young adults in their early 20s, and they're experiencing, you know, that transition part of life where they're needing to have employment. So we have, you know, there's lots of questions around that. Lots of questions, like you mentioned, about, you know, disability supports and services and SSI and all those different things, guardianship, and just those important vital topics that not every other foster or adoptive parent, or, you know, any parent is really going to be well versed in or have experience in. And we have unique challenges. And we get to kind of all come together, like you said, like we're having a cup of coffee around the table and just share what's going on, what's on our hearts, ask that question, you know, what do you do about this? What should I do about that? You know, and since everybody is in different states, what I also love is we're able to point them, for example, to FASD United's Family Navigator. So if they're happen to be in North Carolina or Pennsylvania or whatever state somebody might be in, they can find, you know, we can point them to where to go to find out the FASD resources in their state, in their area. And I know you have so much of that information, as did Natalie, where to point people. So I love that too. So there's something for everybody there, which I love. The second Tuesday we mentioned is our VIP conversation, where we feature a different special guest each month. You know, this is one of my favorite nights because we get to hear from people who, you know, who are either experts in the field of FASD or, like yourself, we had you on because you are not only well-trained and an expert, but you're a parent and you have lots of experience. So who've been some of your favorite VIP guests that we've had on so far?
I think Kenny LaJoy would be at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. He's a young man that lives in Colorado with an FASD, and Cindy LaJoy, his mom, and Natalie have wrote a book, which is wonderful as well. I'll give it a little plug here. And Kenny has written his own book too. And he was interviewed actually first on Jeff Noble's podcast, and you've interviewed him as well. And then we had him as a VIP guest. He just, you know, Wyatt and I, my son, listened to it on a drive to Spokane, actually on our way to my mom's and dad's house in Idaho. And it was so powerful for my son, who's an individual with a FASD too, to listen to someone like Kenny, who's in a different place in his life now than my son is, and running a business and all that, you know, just sharing very candidly his experiences. And Cindy's parenting style is very similar to mine, and, you know, giving them those guardrails, but, you know, knowing when to step in and help and doing all of those things. So he was really powerful. We've just had some wonderful, wonderful guests. Dr. Jackie Pye is probably another one at the top of my list. And she's, yes, you know, a personal friend to Wyatt and I. Wyatt's been a part of that. And her background is just, she just lives and breathes FASD because she really, truly wants to help, you know, this community. And she's just a passionate human being about that. Dr. Christy Petrenko, another, you know, we've had different parents, you know, resources, you know, VIP guests. Suzette Emery from Facets, and she's another friend. We've had wonderful guests, you know. It's hard to you know, to pick any that are great. They're all great. So
they're all great. Yeah. That's why they're all VIPs.
Yeah, they all bring something to the table and share things, you know, like you pointed out, you know, I know a lot of resources and stuff, but even like on our last meeting, when Barrett was pointing out, we have a new member that's from my state, but from the West side, and was talking about Hope Rising Clinic there. And so I checked into the information she shared, because I usually am privy to that kind of stuff. So I'm texting Jen Wisdall, you know, late at night about that. And they actually have not closed and are not closing. They've lost state funding. So they will not be able to diagnose. And that's really sad, because we need those diagnostic clinics. You know, for people who don't know, you know, FASD is the largest developmental disability in the world. And our diagnostic capabilities is only for about 1% of those people, you know, for various reasons, criteria, et cetera. So we need those diagnoses. We need, you know, communities like ours to help parents, you know, live this hard journey, because we are so misunderstood. You know, our kids have sensory issues. Most of them have, you know, trauma issues very seriously. And it's important, we understand that as parents too, that we need to unpack our own trauma, you know, and find the good therapists for ourselves and to help better accommodate and support our kids, because, you know, that plays how we react to them and how we support them. So, you know, groups like ours give us those tools and that, you know, boost, if you will, to be confident enough to go out and ask for that help too. So.
Yeah. And we've learned so much from the VIP guests. I know, you know, I was trying to think of, cause you named, I couldn't remember everybody that we've had, because we, you know, we've had over a dozen of them, but, Dr. Jared Brown, we had on, was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He's like, when he's a guest on this podcast, they're always, we get some of the highest downloads. Mm-hmm. And so we had him on and everybody loved to hear from him and ask all kinds of questions. Cause that's what we do. We allow whoever the VIP guest is, they tell their story. And then we spend the rest of the time, our members get to ask questions, which is, it's interactive and it's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. We had Nate Sheets on. He's the author of the FASD. I always call it FASD Essentials book, but it's, that's Essential not the supports. Accurate title.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essential supports. Yeah. Yeah. So, so we've had him on, like you said, Dr. Christy Petrenko, so many folks. And then coming up in the next, coming months, we have Stacy and Lance Chart, who are both facilitators of the Facets Neurobehavioral Model. Stacy was helped to lead our cohort for when you and I were studying to become facilitators. And Lynn Alsup, who is the author of Tinderbox, which is a wonderful book as well. So we just love it because we get to hear their stories and our members get to ask them questions. And it's one of my favorite parts of our group. Another unique feature that we have with our group, it is, and you mentioned this a little bit, it's faith-based. And I think, as far as I know, it is the only faith-based online FASD support group in the world, until somebody tells me otherwise, I'm claiming it. We end each meeting in prayer, and then we get to continue to pray for one another as well. So, you know, Deb, you've belonged to a lot of groups. You are part of a lot of groups. You moderate and whatnot. They're all incredible, wonderful groups. And I love the fact that nowadays there's so much more out there for families who are struggling and dealing with individuals with FASD. Because I remember back in the early days, there was zero, there was nothing for us. Now there's some really, really great groups. Our group happens to be faith-based. Why do you think, Deb, that that's an important part of our group?
That it's faith-based?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, even in some of the other groups that I'm in, you know, we kind of have to draw the line at what topics we can and can't talk about, because, you know, they want it to just be resources or just be supportive for this or that or whatever. So the fact that ours is faith-based is important and a good thing, because, you know, we encourage that, you know, our members, you know, to share their faith here and are open to do so. You know, for me personally, it was something that was important because, you know, I am a Christian. It is how I live my life. And that, like you said, Sandra, there wasn't anything else out there. And I didn't even really think about that until, you know, you and Natalie started doing this. And it's kind of funny because I never talked to you about this before, but even before you and Natalie started this, you know, I was thinking, you know, and praying, you know, gosh, I wish I had more time to do a ministry or something like this. And then you and Natalie started this. So I was really glad that you did, because, you know, we need to know that we're free to, you know, bring our faith. I mean, our faith is part of our parenting, you know, and all of the things we do, and it's how we live our lives. So, you know, making sense of the madness, you know, amongst being a Christian and parenting, and, you know, because I mean, I'm sure all of us have experienced this. We have felt, at least I'm speaking for myself here, more judgment, sadly, from our churches a lot of times than we have from, you know, other people. And so I think it's really important that we collectively come together as Christians, and hopefully we can over time change that trajectory too of how churches respond to us and our kids and all of that, because that needs to happen, you know, for healing to happen within our community too, you know, as Christians. So,
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. And you know, and like you said, it's our faith is just an integral part of who we are, you know, as believers, and I can't separate it out from my parenting or the rest of my life. So, and I also know that, you know, Jesus is my only hope. And he, you know, God created us to be first and foremost connected to him and in relationship with him, but also in relationship with others. And it's so important, you know, as we, I remember just being, you know, not just being an adoptive mom, but in my early days of being an adoptive mom, and I began to learn about trauma and the impacts of trauma and how, you know, parenting advice from a parent who has only biological, neurotypical kids doesn't work with my kids who are adopted, who've experienced significant trauma, and now I know we're prenatally exposed to alcohol, right? There's the parenting tools are completely different. So you need to find your community of people who get it and who can support you the way you need to be supported. And I find that this community allows us to do all of those things. And we need each other and we need the Lord. So I love the fact that we're able to pray for one another and encourage each other. And part of that, not only do we have our three online meetings every month on via Zoom, but we also have a private Facebook group. And part of that Facebook group, because we stay connected there, you're fabulous at helping, you know, keeping everybody engaged and posting things in there, Deb, which I so appreciate. Part of that Facebook group, we offer the Soul Care Saturday devotions, which you mentioned. So you and I take turns posting a video devotional each Saturday as a way to just encourage our members. It's a unique feature that, you know, can only be found in our group. It's one of my favorite parts. I tend to do mine live, so I can see only, you know, maybe one or two people will actually catch it live, but it stays on there as a recording, but I see the comments afterwards, and that's an important part of our group too. So what are your thoughts on the Soul Care Saturday? How do you think that's helpful to our parents?
Well, I tell you, I felt so insecure doing those because I always think yours are so wonderful. And again, this is, you know, my issue I have to really pray about with myself, because, you know, I have a really serious trauma background, and You know, I've been sexually assaulted, and, you know, I bring a lot of things, you know, into my life that have made me feel insecure about myself. And I've had to really work at, you know, loving myself as the Lord does. You know, it's an ongoing journey for me, you know, at my age. But I do, you know, I get up every morning now and I thank him and I say, I love you, Debbie. And I really try to love myself like the Lord does and give myself that grace. But back to the Soul Care Saturday. This last week, when I shared what I did about, you know, going in the backyard and screaming and just some, I was just really candid and open and tied it back into a particular scripture. And I can't remember what that was now. I had more feedback from that than I had any other Soul Care Saturday that I've really done. So it really kind of turned a corner for me and made me realize that, you know, maybe what I do share has an impact on people. Cause like I said, I felt insecure about that in myself. And I don't know why, because I do lots of podcasts and, you know, my son and I do a lot of things online, but I always record mine. I don't do them live because we have our dog and invariably she knocks over my tripod or she's scratching or she's this or that in my face. And, you know, I redo six takes to get them right because it's just like, I'm like, Silk, you knock things over, or my Bible and everything else goes on the floor because she's knocked this over. So I usually do them Friday afternoon, but they're really wonderful because, I mean, if somebody like me, you know, can not only share a message that uplifts somebody else and they can identify with or get something from and feeds their soul or gives them encouragement, but it also is working on, you know, some insecurity that I have that I've needed to work on in myself and really give it to the Lord and not take it on myself, which I've been doing all my life. It's just a blessing. You know, it gives me confidence. It boosts me. It allows me to continue to share my voice and help other families, you know, hopefully that's why we're all here, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, that any of you that might be considering, you know, joining a group like ours, you know, we're all just ordinary people all across the U.S. and you know, moms like me that, you know, make mistakes and doing the best we can to, you know, raise human beings, you know, with these challenging disabilities that, you know, hopefully we'll go out into the world and make a difference and share the gifts God gave them. So,
yeah, we're not perfect, but we're here for one another. And I know your messages, your Soul Care Saturday messages minister to me as well. And I'm not perfect and the first to admit it. And there was one Saturday night where you texted me and said, hey, are you going to post your Soul Care Saturday video? And I was like, oh my goodness, it just completely slipped my mind. Cause I do mine, probably a bad habit, cause I'm scattered with so many things going on and so many responsibilities with our nonprofit and whatnot. But I usually do mine Saturday morning and I do it Facebook Live. A couple of times I've done it where I've recorded it, but I always find it takes forever for my videos to load. So if I do it, you know, if I do the live, it's there. So, yeah. But there's lots of, you know, probably blooper moments in there that I can't take out, but I completely forgot, like I had my message and I'm like, you know, I didn't even remember to do it. It was crazy, but, everybody, you gave me great grace, Deb, and I appreciate that. But being able to just whatever the Lord puts on our hearts, you know, and just to know that we're encouraging these fellow moms on this journey, you know, because we know it can be very, really, it can be very, very hard. And, you know, community and knowing people who get it, are, you know, we're praying for each other. People are praying for me. This group is really a resource I wish I had, you know, all those years ago when I started my parenting journey. You know, I know many of our members have said that. So, just so important. Any last thoughts, Deb, specifically on the group that you want to mention?
Well, come join us. You know, as Sandra just said, it's a resource I wish I'd had coming up. It's why I do the work that I do, because, you know, I never say no to a mom that texts me or emails me at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night asking for a resource or information or whatever, because I know what it's like to be there. And I've been in those shoes and I've been panicking and I've been, you know, trying to figure life out in bad situations, you know, with my child. So, you know, you need community. We all need community and we're there for you. And we hope that you will come and join us, because It's just, you know, we have wonderful guests and wonderful discussions, and we lift each other up.
Yeah, it's such an important part of the journey to help us stay the course for the journey. So if our listeners are interested in learning more, you can go to our website, justicefororphansny.org/hope-community. We'll get you right there. You can sign up for the community. There is a monthly fee of only $15 a month. This helps our nonprofit to be able to provide this vital resource. However, we do offer scholarships, so we will never, ever, ever turn anybody away because of the cost. That's not a deterrent. So if you want to be part of this group and $15 a month isn't going to, you know, make it for you, we will scholarship you in. We've done that for many of our members because we just want you to have access to this great support and encouragement as well. So Deb, as I always wrap up the show, I always like to ask our guests if they could leave a word of encouragement for our listeners. So if you have a word of encouragement to offer the adoptive and foster parents listening, we'd love to hear it.
I'm going to go back to the word hope. And I did this when Natalie interviewed me for her podcast. You know, there's always hope, my friends. And I love that that is included in the title of our group because, you know, remember, there is always hope. And, you know, there are places where it's safe for you to be and encouraging. And I wish you love and blessings.
Aww. Well, thank you, Deb. Thank you so much for the blessing and the asset you are to the entire FASD community in the United States and around the world, because I know you're involved in lots of other groups and projects, and you're such an incredible advocate, which I'm so grateful for. So thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for being part of our group, and thank you for being on the show today.
No, my pleasure. I was really honored. I'm always happy to be here with you, Sandra.
Same here, Deb. Thanks. Wow, what a great conversation with Deb. She is truly a blessing and an asset to the FASD community. And I'm grateful she was on today, and I'm so grateful for you to be listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey. I hope you were inspired and encouraged by my conversation with Debbie Raymond. And I hope that you also were inspired enough to consider being part of our group if you feel like you need that kind of support on your parenting journey. Because in addition to encouraging and inspiring you, we want to equip you, right? Again, I'm a mom. I'm on this journey. I'm a facilitator of the FACETS neurobehavioral model. I understand how hard this journey can be. Deb understands how hard this journey can be. And we're passionate about providing support and resources to you for your journey. So I pray that you will consider all of the resources that we talked about today, from the support group to the training, to the parent coaching that I offer. This podcast is certainly a resource as well. So you can learn more about all of the other resources at our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can, if you want to go directly to the FASD resources, you can go to the website, justicefororphansny.org/FASD. Or if you just go to the homepage of the website, you would click on training, the training tab at the top, and you'll see FASD, and you can click on that. And of course, there's a link in the show notes for this episode, so you can find it super easy. And if you enjoyed listening to this podcast, and if you have not already subscribed or followed it, please do so and leave a review. That always helps make it easier for other adoptive and foster parents to be able to find this podcast as a resource. And of course, if you are on social media, we are. So you can find and follow Justice for Orphans on both Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And me, Sandra Flack, I'm on all of those platforms as well. You can find me there. Would love to connect with you there. And I'm grateful that you spent your valuable time with me today. I'm thrilled to have you along for the journey.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Adoption and Foster Care Journey podcast, brought to you by Justice for Orphans. We hope you were encouraged today. Please be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave a review and share it with your fellow foster and adoptive parent friends so they can be encouraged too. Be sure to find and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. And check out our website for vital resources at justicefororphansny.org.